You're listening to Danny Dave and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It is Danny Dave and Moore. The Mariners taking batting practice right now. And before the show, first hour of the show, we got an opportunity to talk to Nelson Cruz. We are here at Edgar's Cantina, as we are every Friday. The Mariners are going to take on the Red Sox. And Nelson, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you. It's great weather today, huh?
It's really nice.
Beautiful. Yes.
Yeah, this isn't what people described Seattle to you when you were coming here. They were saying, get ready for the rain, and you get days like this.
I mean, it's the middle of June. It had to come.
You know what? Actually, when I was playing here for the Seahawks in June in 1991, it rained every day in June. And then I was like, okay, I got to get a place in Arizona after this. But so, yeah, this is actually really nice. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah.
What was the game like last night, Nelson?
It was fun. I mean, two great pitchers, you know, and it was one mistake, you know, and that was the difference of the game. But overall, we pleased with the game we play, you know. We know we're facing good pitching and a good bullpen, so it can go either way, you know. Because we also have a great pitching and great bullpen.
Nelson, how are you feeling? Because I think Scott Service was calling you the human bruise or something.
What does that mean?
Well, it just means that, man, you were getting banged up and everybody hit. I thought the best point of the season was when your home run total went past your hit by pitch total. It's ridiculous, man. I mean, everybody was hitting you. We were getting mad because, and then you had a little ankle problem and things like that. But yeah. How are you feeling?
Good. I mean, I understand him getting hit by pitch is part of the game, too. You know, no, it's not only hit homers and getting hit, you know. So at some point, if you think is it obvious that they want to hit you, you get mad, you know. The other day, you know, even it hurt, you know. I guess it takes a while to understand that it's also part of the game.
Yeah. Is it okay if I get mad at them and, like, scream
at
them?
Yeah, you can get mad at them.
Okay, and I can shout at them, like, stop hitting Nelson.
I know. It's just getting old, man. Yeah, you were wearing it well, though.
Yeah, I mean, I get all the gears that I can get to protect myself.
Yeah,
especially in the joints, so I don't get, I don't lose any more gains.
Yeah, how hard was it for you when you're coming back? Because it seems like you're trying to get your timing and you're trying to get your health, and to get all of that to come together must be difficult.
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, as you know, I don't play that many games in spring training. I think the season come up and I was feel really good, you know. I was excited, you know, all the adrenaline for the first two games, and I was like hitting homers, and downs go crazy, like they said, you know. I went down the stairs and I cannot believe it, you know, walking to the stairs, you fell, you know.
Do you go down the stairs differently now? I mean, do you?
I go more cautious. Yes. Yeah. So anytime that I okay, slow down. Yeah, but I mean, like you mentioned, you know, I tried to get the rhythm of my swing and all that, and just stuff keep happening, you know. And I wasn't able to get my swing dry. I mean, I played through injuries before, but nothing like the ankle. Until it happened, you don't realize how important it is, you know. Just to use your back leg and drive with the balls. That's how you drive the ball to the gap and to the outfield. So I was trying to use all my hands and upper body when I was... Even when I came back, it wasn't good.
It's fun to watch you hit, man. Like, watching your swing and the power that you generate, it's been a blast for the 4 years you've been here and before that. What does it feel like when you hit a home run?
Awesome. I think, like I mentioned before, you know, you put all the work behind the scene, you know, you came here early, you watch videos, you sleep well, do your diet, you know. Make sure your body's right, your mind's right. So when that moment comes, you know, it's a good feeling to see all the work that you put together paying off.
What would you guys take if you could do one thing? Well, you could probably actually do most of the things, but like a slam dunk, home run, strikeout. Like, I think I'd pick hitting a home run. Like, I think that'd feel pretty
unbelievable. And how about add the walk-off to it, too? That's got to be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I think walk-off, it makes it better, you know, ending in with the homer. It makes it special. You get the W for your teammates and all the fans go happy home.
We were talking to Jerry DePoto about, you know, players when they get older. And I was saying, you know, when I played, I never thought I lost a step. If you'd have asked me, I'd say, yeah, I was just as good as when I was younger. But that's just the mindset.
Yeah,
exactly. But, you know, he was saying you're a much better player in your older years. Take that. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, take that the right way, right? You
I
know?
Get it.
Because
right
I always stick up for the old guys because, yeah, you always think that you
get
can keep
experience.
Going.
That's it. Yeah.
Exactly. We'll call it experience, guys. Yeah. There you go. But do you find that you are paying more attention to details and taking better care of yourself than when you were younger?
No doubt. I think now I realize how important it is for me to my body to make sure I do all the things that I can do to be able to play every day. Not only that, pay attention to pictures, details, sequences, you know. Mm-hmm. I always have something that I can watch, and I never take the eyes out of the picture, even when they're warming up. So the little things that I can get to help me perform better there, I take it, you know.
Do you eat healthy all the time?
I mean, I don't eat much.
Like you stop a jacket, in the box on the way home or anything?
No, none of that.
What's the bad stuff that you eat, though?
I guess in a row, once in a while, you better get some fries, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's got the best fries?
At the hotels, yeah. Definitely, I always eat at the hotel. I don't eat out.
Always at the hotels?
Yeah.
Hey, we talked to Ryan Healy yesterday, and Danny asked him who, in the dugout, which of his teammates is one that might be chirping a lot, saying a lot of different things, busting chops. And he mentioned you. He mentioned you, Nelson, that you like doing that kind of stuff.
Well, I guess. I mean, like you say, experience, you know.
Yeah, you said you and Kyle Seager go back a lot.
Well, we the best friends on the team, so you see how we hog and all that.
Yeah.
So we always got something to say, even when they throw over to first base. We always call balk, or when they drop a baseball, we scream. I mean, we have different stuff.
So you're giving the other guys a hard time?
Yeah, the opposite team.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you worried about... Or maybe not worried. One time when you guys have the hug, you and Kyle, that you're going to knock him over?
Oh, he's strong enough, you know.
Yeah, he's pretty stout, right?
Yeah, he's built, you know, he's built.
He's got the power source.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What is that thing where you guys kind of jump and...
Yeah.
It's a hug, yeah.
Just a jumping hug.
Yeah.
Okay. And you say you're the best friends on the team?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Nelson Cruz here. You've got a unique perspective on Scott Servais because you worked with him when he was in player personnel and kind of development. What's he been like as a manager?
Well, I think through the years, I mean, the last few years, he's been different, you know. I guess first few years, you got that pressure to really push it to win, you know. Even you don't show it, but you feel it, you know. And now he's more relaxed. He knows what everyone can do in different dates. And we all understand him now. Like, we all on the same page. I mean, if you go through the bullpen, even the guys on the bench, the guy can play every day. The guys that come, Batoon guys, you know, they all understand. They understand processing. He knows everybody. He understands also the teams. You know, he can always come with ideas, do meetings, how to attack, what to defend, you know. So definitely it's a process for everybody, and he's one of the best right now.
Seems like he's making it fun, too, of all the teams that you played on. Is this your favorite? It seems like
it's just
a blast.
Yeah, we really have fun, and we keep it loose. Even when we travel, you know, we had so much fun in the meetings. We make sure we do what we want to do. He let you be yourself. Yeah. That's the most important thing. You know, if you want to have a long hair. Whatever your style might be, just do it. You know, be yourself. And as a player, you want to be who you are, you know, and feel comfortable when you go to the stadium, feel comfortable with what you do on a daily basis. And it makes you a better player.
What's a series like this mean to you? Because you're playing the Red Sox, you have two of the best records in the league. Safeco Field, there's going to be 120,000 people here this weekend. What's it like for you and the team?
It's exciting. You always want to have fun. I think we play for the fans also, not only for yourself. I really like when it's full, you know. It gives you energy, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if you're in a different stadium, when it's a lot of crowd, you know, that motivates you to play better.
We're going to see some full crowds here this weekend. You had about 30,000 here last night. It'll fill up even more. Does chemistry matter for a baseball team?
No doubt. I think chemistry is everything. We all have to be on the same page in the clubhouse. We have to feel for the same goals, you know. Winning and bringing that energy is everything. And I think we have that right now.
Does it take time to build that? Because you've been here for 4 years now, and you've had other guys that have been here. Does it take time to build that chemistry?
Well, when you're winning, winning builds everything, you know. And we have, like, the first day of spring training, and we had the first game of the season, and that's one of the things that I mentioned. We had the best team all around the that I be part with. with the Mariners, you know. So we have to take advantage of that, and we're definitely doing it.
Nelson, you got a beautiful family to go home to. Do they ever come on the road with you?
They go once in a while, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got any plans to, like, take them to New York or anything? Coming
yeah, they're going to be there, yeah.
Are you kids in school yet?
They finished already, yeah.
Yeah.
Today's the last day, I guess.
Okay.
So. Spring, that's the best day of the year, isn't it, when you're a kid?
Well,
no more
yeah.
School?
Yeah, but when you're a parent and you know that the kids are going to be hanging around the house all the time, right, it's sometimes problematic.
Yeah, you didn't like that so much?
You got to entertain them all the time. Of course, you don't have to.
I like to have them around. You know, I think it's fun. It makes you relax. Even tough day, it goes easier when they're not around, you know?
Yeah, see, that's the difference between you and me. I didn't like having my kids around. I'm just kidding. I love it.
You know what I'm planning on doing on Wednesday? Just embarrassing the heck out of them, because my kids are at middle school, and they get out, I don't know what time on Wednesday, but I'm going to have Alice Cooper, School's Out for Summer.
Okay.
You heard that one?
No.
Oh, you got to hear it. And I'm gonna just blare it. I'm going to roll down the windows, and I'm just going to blare it, and I'm just going to embarrass the heck out of them. That's what I'm planning on doing. And Father's Day, I didn't get a good reaction to that, but Father's Day coming up on Sunday, that's okay. I'm used to awkward silences, Nelson. Father's Day, what's it mean to you to be a father, and what kind of a dad are you?
Yeah, definitely. I think you don't realize how important and how much work and about details until you come up a father, you know, and then you realize, wow, my dad and my mom, they did a lot for me. They always care. They always, every message, every advice that they give me was for my best. When you're a kid, you're like, why they don't let me be me? Why they always have to do whatever they want to do, you know? And now that I'm a father, I understand that every single advice that they give me was for my best, you know, and I cannot be more proud and more appreciated than all the things that my dad, my mom did for me when I was a kid.
Makes you appreciate your parents,
yes,
definitely. And
definitely.
You had two great parents, both school teachers, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you used to fix Ford trucks, is that right? Or tow trucks or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, tractors and all, yeah. Big trucks, yeah.
Yeah. You can do everything, man.
I don't think I can do it no more. Not the tractors.
Hey, in a perfect world, would you like to finish your career in Seattle?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, but like I said before, I understand it's business, you know. You never know. I've been part of different teams before. And you always want you to stay. You always want to play the pitchers like the perfect one, you know. But I can stay in this business, you know, and you never know. But it would be a highlight, you know, if you can stay here.
Last thing for you here, Nelson. It's been so much fun to watch your team get on the roll that they've. You think about all the different things that have happened, injuries and Robinson Cano's absence, all the different things. What's kept you guys and made you guys be able to sort of persevere and succeed in spite of some of the setbacks you've had?
Well, I think, we're really close as a team. If you go inside the clubhouse or when we travel, meetings, you know, in the gym, the training rooms, you will see, like, It's unique what we have there. Not from only the veterans, they come from everybody. We're all on the same page. We all want to win. And they're hungry, you know. I know the city's hungry to win also. And we understand how important it is and how proud the fans are with the Mariners, and we also are. So it don't matter who comes from the Mariners or the ones that are here, we always commit to win games and ensure our best.
He is Nelson Cruz, and he's one of the best free agent additions in this city's sports history. Really fun to watch you play, and we're really grateful the time you come out. You're always so great with us and generous with your time. Thanks a lot, Nelson.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, thanks, anytime.
Guys. 5 o'clock refresh brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. It's Danny David Moore. We're live here at Edgar's Cantina at Safeco Field. Pre-game warm-ups continuing on. You hear Nelson Cruz, and I think of him as kind of the conscience of this Seattle Mariners clubhouse, and he's the leader, he's the veteran, he's the guy that I think people take their cues from. And for all of the different things that the Mariners have struggled at times when it comes to acquiring free agents, Nelson Cruz has been an absolute home run, both as a player and his personality in the clubhouse. I think he's a big part of the foundation of what has happened here with this Mariners team this season.
Yeah, and you hope so. You hope that, like, he's the leader of this team. But, man, right now he is on an unbelievable streak. And, you know, and that's why one of the reasons why I thought that,
we were going to see this from Kyle Seager as well, and I think we will. We will eventually see this from Kyle Seager, but he was at 222, like 26 games ago, and then since then he's just been on an unbelievable tear. So I think he's got 16 home runs, and he may eclipse his all-time, which was 44, and that was the first year he came here, actually, having come from Baltimore and hit 40. So he just looks, I mean, does he look like he's in shape? Oh, my God. He looks like he can rush the passer from the edge. He's just, he's huge. And as you mentioned, Danny, and you should tell us a little bit about the conversation, you asked him a question, but he came over and he kind of put his hand on your shoulder and was like, answered everything that you asked.
I wanted to know specifically about the home run he hit, the second home run he hit on Monday night against the Angels.
Oh, where you felt like it was all arms?
Yes, because I didn't think if he stepped, I don't know how much of his weight transfer actually went into the ball, how much of it was his hips, and he reached. Like, his arms were fully extended. You don't normally see a ball like that. And he hit it out to center. And look, I know the ball's traveling and carrying differently. Like, we're seeing different kinds of home runs over these past 2 years. But to see a ball hit out to that part of the field, like, I was so impressed with the sheer strength that took. And I felt like the upper body strength. And he said it wasn't all arms, but man, it sure looked like it.
Yeah, I think, you know, Corey Brock from The Athletic, who covers the Mariners, he wrote a story about the lower half and how important that is to Nelson Cruz. I'm sure it is to every athlete, but that was part of the problem with Cruz, was not only, you know, the rust from not playing and the timing being off, but he wasn't completely healthy. So we're seeing the same guy. I was concerned that, oh man, here we go, Nelson Cruz going to turn 38 in July. We're going to start seeing it. And yet, Cruz looks like a guy that's 34 or 35. And so I can see, Danny, why you think that it'd be nice to see the Mariners lock him up for another couple of years. Maybe he could still be effective like Edgar was until he was 40.
Don't you think he would also sign for, I don't want to say cheap, but a friendly deal? Not necessarily an increase.
Hometown discount?
There you go. The Costco discount.
Maybe.
I just look at it. I don't think he's going to get a big money offer. Because I don't.
Because of the age?
Because of his age and because of the questions about it. And I think that
2 years, $30 million?
Yeah, see, I think that might even be high. I don't think you need to do that. I think you could 2 years, $10 million. Two years, $20 million. $10 million a year. I think that very well could do it.
2 years, $20 million?
Yeah, because I think that a lot of teams are going to look at it. I think he's more valuable to the Mariners than he is elsewhere. If it's 2 years, $30 million, because the Mariners know what he brings and the Mariners know what he provides. Like, the Mariners know him better than other people, and I think another team would look at it and, like, you're going to sign a 38-year-old free agent, sign him through to be 40. I think he's more valuable here than he is because they know what he's provided in the
clubhouse.
Yeah,
and if another team comes along, they go, oh, we'll give you 2 years, $24 million. You think he's going to leave for the extra $4 million? I wouldn't
yes.
think so. I don't. Think
I do.
So. No, honestly, I mean, for a guy like that, there's a point where you get like it was a hassle for me to go to Denver, you know. And I live here. My wife's from here, and you know, my family had moved up here, and it was kind of a hassle. But I mean, it was a huge difference financially going there. So that's why I went. But I just remember thinking if it was close, that I would stay. I would definitely stay.
You also have this. Eventually, you have to bet on guys. You have to bet on someone to beat sort of the transitional table. Dave believes Earl Thomas is the guy you bet on right now. And I think that it's a year early. You're putting out too much money ahead of it. But with Nelson Cruz, a guy who's been better in his 30s than he was in his 20s, if I'm going to bet on somebody to beat sort of the trends of a career arc and how it goes, I'm going to bet on a guy with that personality and who's that solid of a person and who is as important to the clubhouse as he is.
Yeah, I can see all those points, but you got to wait to see how this season plays out because he's been good this first half. He's been no signs of age whatsoever. Let's see how he does down the stretch, though, and turning 38 in July. I mean, we've seen Pujols, and he's still been effective, but not like he was. And so it's a tough one. I could see a two-year, $20 million type deal, Danny, but I think the Mariners are doing the right thing to just play it out.
It's Danny Davenport. We've got Shannon Dreyer. And the last exchange between Shannon and Jim, I'll say downright pleasant.
Yeah, Shannon's coming around. She is. She's coming around. Is she going to come out here? Is she here?
I believe we're going to see her. That's coming up next here in the Cantina.
This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere. Everywhere. At 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
We missed you, Harden.
Yeah, Harden.
Matt Harden's
right.
Back.
He's always play this.
That's exactly right. This was the original Misfit Radio theme song.
How come, Harden? Why was it the Misfit Radio theme song?
Well, the whistling. It just
the whistling. Yeah, it was. It was. It is Danny David Moore. We're here at Edgar's Cantina, and it's Friday. And that means we get our weekly visit with Shannon Dreher. Shannon, how are you?
I'm well, guys. It's good to be out here. Sun is shining.
It's a gorgeous night. It's a big series. It was a great game last night. Not the result anybody wanted, but I was telling someone, I was like, I enjoyed the pain of sitting through that game. The unease, the discomfort, the sort of sweating it out. Like, I missed that sort of pain of relevant baseball.
Well, it's funny. I mean, the night before, it just kind of hit me. You know what? They're never really trailing in a ball game. They really aren't. And then last night was the reality. Okay, they really can trail and lose a ball game. But, you know, it kind of evolved into the pitching matchup that you wanted it to, meaning that you saw the Felix that you wanted to. And so that was a different kind of game. We haven't seen that in a while. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Was it a case of Felix just having better stuff than he has, or did he change his approach?
No, I think what happened is, I think that two starts ago, take it all the way back to Oakland, where he had the horrible start there, I think that's when it was starting to sink in to him that, okay, I'm in trouble right now. I think we talked about it before. I think that he had been able to convince himself, well, it was the injuries the past 2 years, or, you know, bad workout program in the offseason. I think it really hit him in Oakland when he blew up in that start. And that's when he went and asked Mel Stottlemyre Jr. for help, and that's when they started implementing changes. The first game against Tampa is when you saw success with that. And my feeling, and kind of knowing Felix and kind of hearing some things the last week is that he might have thought, okay, I'm good now. Fixed.
Yeah.
And just kind of went about his business of doing what he normally does after that with the new routine, but maybe not as committed to it as when he was in trouble. Second time he faces Tampa, big trouble. Okay, I need to stick with this now. It would appear, I would hope, that he's on track right now and understands that if he wants to have the success and be a part of this and do what the rest of the rotation is doing, he's got to keep up with that routine and those changes they've asked him to make, and it's got to be a real commitment.
How big of a deal was that for him to go to Stottlemyre there? Because, you know, we've always wondered, and Danny brought this up yesterday, it's one thing if he can't, and it's another if he won't, and as far as adapting his game. And so that visit to Stottlemyre, was that, in your mind, like something pretty monumental?
It's huge. And he, I think, has a good relationship with Stottlemyre, and I think he trusts Stottlemyre. But I think that, you know, certain athletes that are where he is in the game, it's got to come from him. It's not a matter of somebody just going up to him and shaking him and telling him, hey, this is what you're doing right now. He's got to realize that himself. So in that regard, I think it was huge. I think that meant that he did realize it, A, and B, that he, you know, trusted Mel enough to be somebody who could help him get out of it.
Is criticism of Kyle Seager fair or unfair?
Well, what are you criticizing?
I'm not criticizing anything about him. Danny O'Neill is. So.
What is Danny O'Neill criticizing?
His at-bat last night in the ninth inning and his batting average.
Okay. His batting average is not good. The at-bat was not good, but that is not the full picture. And if you look at that at-bat last night, it was, I love watching Craig Kimbrell. And I just one arm, Jim, not both.
Oh, is it one?
Yeah. Well, I guess he does do two. He does do two. Yeah, he does. He does the big, yeah, let's. He is a nasty, nasty pitcher. And what I was just kind of chuckling at last night is he came into that inning. He didn't have his command. It looks like, oh, we're going to walk and hit all night and get to him right back until he turned into Craig Kimbrell. And I think that Kyle did not. I think he went up there with a plan. Didn't see what he thought he was going to see, and that at-bat was over quick. The batting average is not good, but, I mean, if you look at Kyle Seager right now, he is, I believe, I know he's top 10, he might be 5 or 6 in clutch numbers in baseball.
Is he?
Yes. He has been good.
Because people think he's not clutch.
He's been good this year. He has been good with the runners in scoring position this year. That's why he's got the RBIs that he's got. He's come through when they've needed him to come through. The batting average isn't there, but, you know, like a lot of players on this team, they do well later in games. They do well better against the bullpen against bullpens of other teams, they do pretty well against the fastball. But, yeah, the average isn't there, but his contribution and what he's done in wins has been pretty big.
Do you think the average is going to improve over the final two-thirds of the season, or do you think this might be a year where we're just like, he kind of had an off year at the plate. He's played great defense. Mm-hmm. He's been absolutely, and I'm not somebody who's like, oh, they should move him out or he's overrated. It's just that it's concerning that you wanted to get more production from him than you've gotten it, and especially now with, they're still going to miss another 50 games at Cano. Mm-hmm. They're going to need to get more from him.
I think they can. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think what he has been doing, particularly of late in the last few weeks, probably is enough. What we saw, obviously, in April is not.
Well, Shannon, so you look at this.
Have you run out of things? I mean, that was a pause Jim.
Is it just too good right now? Too happy? What's going on? No, it was Dave's turn. And you and I have been getting along so well.
Well, and yeah, you were bailing out Kyle Seager there, too?
Yeah, I get tired.
Who are you?
I get tired of the criticism of Kyle Seager.
Here's what happened, is that Jim has spent, I don't know, a good couple weeks after Felix Hernandez. But he says, I don't want to hear anybody criticize Kyle Seager. And I was like, why is Felix the guy that you can say is going to lose his spot in the rotation, but we can't say anything critical about Kyle
Shannon
Seager?
Maybe Shannon can help me with this, because I've always felt that Felix hasn't completely bought into what the coaching staff wants him to do. And because of that, I haven't fully embraced Felix.
I think they both have something in common, and I think that it's probably, I think if you look at the two performances, I think that Kyle has contributed more than Felix has. I think Felix has got the potential now to really contribute. I asked Mike Zanino last night, hey, is there any reason to believe he can't do this every time out? I'm not talking about just giving up, you know, just the two runs, but pitch the way he has. He said, absolutely not. We've seen it here. We saw it 2 weeks ago. There's not. With Kyle, it's a little bit of a more of a mystery where he's going to get, but the production has been there. So I think they're two different things right there. But what they have in common is I think they both have to figure out things for themselves. I mean, we know that about Felix. He's very rooted in who he is and his identity and the pitcher that he is. And unfortunately, sometimes it's the pitcher that he was 3 years ago, and he doesn't see what he is right now. I think he gets it now, and everything that got him to that point 3 years ago should be able to take him into the next level. With Kyle, he is just so wrapped up in what he needs to do to fix his swing. You've heard he tinkers like no one else. Well, that's not coming from a coach. That's coming from Kyle. And so I think in that regard, I think they're both a little bit kind of difficult when they get in trouble to help.
Well, and where is Kyle as far as, like, trying to repair a swing or whatever?
He feels really good about it right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we love the home runs in the last, what'd you say, 3 or 4 games?
He's great.
316
Tampa.
His last 4 games.
Yeah.
316. So.
Yeah, he was good.
I know it's just 4 games,
Tampa.
But still.
But,
yeah.
But still, I mean, look, he's going to turn around. I don't think it's a matter of if it's going to happen. It's just when. But, you know, I would say, I mean, just kind of playing the devil's advocate as far as between Jim and Danny, if they weren't winning, people would be on probably Kyle Seager. If people weren't stepping
sure,
up.
Sure, if they were only looking at the batting average, so, they would be, because you expect
be fair,
more from him.
To be fair.
I mean, the shift has been tough for him. There's no question about that. But that's something, it's not going, well, maybe it is going away if you've been following what's been happening with the commissioner and the competition committee. But, you know, he's got to adapt right now.
Isn't that goofy? That they're talking about prohibiting the shift? Like, that's weird to me.
What?
That is weird.
I think they're overstepping.
They
well, they're not seeing enough runs. I mean, the games are too...
You can't tell...
You can't tell... Short games with lots of runs? I mean, stop. Just stop.
The other thing is, you can't tell a team not to do the smartest thing possible with their personnel. Like that, like you can't tell. It would be like
well,
in
they're equating it to the zone defense in basketball.
Yeah, but that's crazy because the zone...
You're drawing a line on the field. You cannot if you're the short side.
Yeah.
Step away.
Yeah, I was appalled by that. Also, talking about eliminating the or implementing the DH in the National League because Masahiro Tanaka got hurt running the bases. The Yankees pitcher strains both his hamstrings running the bases, and everybody's like, well, see, that's why you shouldn't have the designated hitter. Look, it's a really low bar to expect someone to run the bases without straining their hamstring. I don't think we need to fix
these
rules.
These aren't athletes, all of them.
Because one of the Yankee players got hurt doing that.
Well, that conversation has been around. I mean, I think the assumption has been all along that you will have the DH in both leagues at some point. I like seeing pitchers hit. I don't want to see them get hurt, but I do like seeing them hit.
You want the biggest question of the night?
Yeah, Danny, what you got?
She got your looking on that one.
I missed that. Oh,
so,
there we go, Harden.
Yeah, there's Harden. All right, I'm looking at
Harden's
five.
On the board.
There are only 5 teams with better odds of going to the World Series than the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners are at 13-1 to go to the World Series. Do you think that we're going to, what are the chances? I mean, forget about the second wild card, the first wild card, winning the AL West, whatever. We always talk about that. Let's just leapfrog all the way to the World Series. Can the Mariners finally make it to the World Series after 41 years of play?
Well, the odds are 13-1, so I would go with that then.
Well, can you elaborate? Can you just, like, humor me?
You gave me the answer in your question.
Is this team capable of making it to the World Series? They're 19 games over 500. It's time. We're due.
He tried to do this with D. Gordon earlier this week. Tried to put pressure on D. Gordon to get him to the World Series because he's 60 years old and might kick the bucket.
I'm going to be 61.
In that case.
I'm going to be 61 next week. I don't have forever. I want to see a World Series in Seattle. And I know you do, too.
Jim, just take good care of
yourself. This team seems capable to me.
They're going to need to make some additions if they're going to do it. But
like
all teams,
where?
Well,
what?
Probably starting pitching would probably be the
next. But that would take Felix out of the rotation.
We don't know what's. You've got 3.5 months to go, so you look to add. You know others will add as well. I look at the Astros, and as close as the Mariners are to them right now, and even though I think the schedule after the All-Star break is going to favor the Mariners a little bit, add a top reliever to that bullpen and they could take off, assuming that they stay healthy. And they've been remarkably healthy for 2 years. So I think that's going to be tough right there. We're going to find out more about the Red Sox and the Yankees over the next 10 days. Let's go ahead and see there. I like the way this team is playing. I like the way they play together. I like the way the manager is managing this team right now. Do they have a lot of talent? Yes. And, you know, I'll go ahead and say this. I think they have that intangible. I think they're going to be that team that everybody likes to watch. I think, you know, Ichiro running out on the field might be a rallying thing down at the end of the season. I think, you know, Nelson.
Instead of a rally monkey, we got Rally Ichiro.
I think that's terrible. I think, you know, the Kyle Seager, and I love that you got that out of Nelson Cruz. We're best friends. And, yeah. You know, Kyle said that, too. They're best baseball friends. And that's what I think all of that stuff is, and it's not false. You think about all the Gatorade we saw being thrown the last couple of years. You rarely see it anymore. It's not after every win. It's after the big moments. This team knows how to win right now, and they know that, and there's a confidence there. They're fun to watch. Got a real good chuckle watching MLB Network a few nights ago. I was doing the post-show game show. I look up, and all I see are Mariners highlights on it. They're playing catch-up because they know they're going to have to sell this team in September, and if people don't know who they are, you know, people aren't going to be tuning in for this stuff. So it's been a lot of fun to watch people start to catch up.
Did you notice that once again I was the one who asked the question, but she was making eye contact with you?
Because I was done with your question. 13-1.
It's Danny David Moore. Shannon,
dispatched you.
Shannon, we love catching up with you. It's always fun to be out here. We appreciate your time.
I appreciate being here. Thanks, guys.
It is Danny David Moore. We'll find out what we learn next.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
It is time to find out what we learn. Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen.
What, do you want a piece of me, Danny?
No.
Whoa.
You want a shot at the title?
No, I do not.
Save it for Chris
No,
Sale.
I do not. 5 o'clock refresh brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Jess, what did we learn?
Oh, we learned a lot. Starting off with Jim being sick of the Kyle Seager shade.
Seager's at bat was brutal.
He struck out against one of the best closers in the game.
It was a terrible
I'm
going
to start sticking up for Kyle
Why?
Seager. I'm sick of people picking on Kyle Seager.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, why are you sick of it?
You want to check out Kyle Seager's stats?
Right now,
what
he's hit like
236?
He's a really good player as a Mariner.
He's hitting less than 2. Well, he's hitting 313 in his last 4 games. Leave him alone. Have you seen the defense he's playing at third base?
He's
sick
playing
of
great
people
defense.
Getting on Kyle Seager. Every time I turn on some show or watch somebody saying something, it's always like, Kyle Seager, boy, you keep waiting for Kyle Seager to heat up.
Well, I'm sick of you getting on the king and saying we need to put him out to pasture or put him in the bullpen. Why is Kyle
the
Seager
king is
the same?
The king is further gone than Kyle Seager.
You sound like Josh Rosen there for a minute.
Me?
Yeah.
Why, Jim?
Reminds me of those seagulls finding Dory. And they say, mine,
what
why?
What would hurt this team more, not to have Kyle Seager on it or not to have Felix Hernandez on it?
Not having Kyle Seager. Yeah. I mean, Kyle's playing great
defense.
That's
not really the question at hand,
I think that's a good question, though. It is a good question. I like it when Danny gets a burr under his saddle.
Well, it's just funny to me how
Why did you all of a sudden start going after Kyle Seager?
No, it wasn't.
It was a one at bat.
It was the way the line was drawn, where
all of a sudden it was like, you can't talk bad about him. Depending on, he thought he could hit Mike Leake, and he thought Mike Leake was terrible, equally vehement. And there was nobody like, I'm tired of you talking bad about Mike Leake. And it was just like all of a sudden.
How long have we been working together? 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
I'm wrong more than I'm right. Have you noticed that?
So we're just supposed to accept anything he says as possibly wrong.
No, this team would miss Seager more than Felix at this point.
I agree with you.
We also learned that we got to keep our head on a swivel out here.
I want to see him compete and win each game. And I think that they've got the ability.
Our Boston State Pridemore just looked like he was shot.
Yeah. He lost his glasses there. We had a ball come over here. Somebody trying to do a little bit of
scoreboard.
Yeah, it came out. We're under siege here at batting practice.
Everybody else except for
Guillermo. Guillermo's laughing.
Yeah.
Heredia's laughing there.
Nobody expresses concern for Pridemore and whether he's okay. Everybody just laughs at our boss who dropped his glasses.
That ball coming in, it was loud. You could hear it there. I wasn't so much scared by that as Pridemore's reaction. It's like, good God, what happened?
It was loud if you were not on headset, which I wasn't at the time either.
We got a lot of people to thank today. Vern Lawton and Paul Carvalho, who got us all set up out here. Jessamine McIntyre, who is our producer. Nelson Cruz for joining us. Shannon Dreyer as well. Everybody for being here. Tolerant of our attempts at sports talk radio. And everybody listening. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend. Let's go, Mariners.